and welcome to Know the News. This is our weekly podcast where we give you a sneak peek into stories coming Sunday. I'm Becca Martin Brown, the arts and entertainment editor for the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and the River Valley Democrat Gazette in Fort Smith. And joining us to talk about her interview with an iconic musician is Monica Hooper, our music editor. Monica, what was it like to talk to part of Lynyrd Skynyrd?
It was pretty fun. I have obviously heard Lynyrd Skynyrd my whole life, and I'd always known about their tragic backstory. So I was surprised that I was even able to talk to a member of the band.
Now, is Ricky Medlock, the guitarist that you talked to, is he an original member, or is he as close to original as they still have?
He and the lead singer are probably the most original you can get for the band. Not to disparage any member of the band, because they're kind of an institution at this point, and a lot of the people that they bring in are really invested. But Ricky Medlock was around when the band originally formed, but he was in other bands, so he was kind of like in and out. So I think he was the drummer actually from 1971 to 1972, and then he came back and joined the band in 1996. So he grew up alongside the other members of the band, especially, you know, the founding members like Ronnie Van Zant. So yes and no. He was there, but he wasn't there. He had a less successful southern rock band called Blackfoot, that came up around the same time.
Getting an interview with him is still quite a coup.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it, because they had just lost a member, and I just assumed that there was no way they were doing press right now. So it was really surprising. It was not one that I thought I would get, but
and Lynyrd Skynyrd plays this weekend or next weekend with ZZ Top at the Amp.
They play next weekend, so that is July 28th that they're playing with ZZ Top, who also recently lost a band member. I believe it was their bass player last year.
So stick around and listen to this interview that Monica had with Ricky Medlock, and read the story Sunday in What's Up. Here's her interview.
Hey, I'm doing great. It's not every day I get to talk to a legitimate rock and roll legend on the phone, so I'm pretty excited.
I don't know how legitimate I am, but it's a rock and roller.
Oh, don't be shy. first of all, I wanted to offer my condolences for the loss of Gary Rossington. I know that's pretty fresh, and I can only imagine how y'all must be feeling these days.
Yeah, it's, well, for me in particular, I mean, it's still quite a raw nerve in me, you know?
Yeah.
And, after you spend as many years together and early teams, that we knew each other, and then all of a sudden, you're in a band and with him for almost, back in the band. Well, I was in the early band and for about, 2.5, going on 3 years, and then been back with him, 27, going on 28 years. So all together, 30 years being in a band with a guy. And so, you don't get over something that quick, with a friend like that. And, we do a tribute to him every night, during Tuesday's Gone. And, that's always really cool and, very heartfelt. And, we hate it. I mean, we really do. It is what it is.
Yeah,
and he's missed. He's greatly missed every night, and every day. And I was so used to calling him all the time, and now I can't call him. But I appreciate the condolences. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and of course. How has the band been doing? And you said that you you have a moment for him each evening. Has it just been really hard being on the road after this loss, or have y'all just so accustomed to it now?
You know what? I think that what makes it easier, not harder, but what makes it easier, is that I know that Gary would really love the fact that we're paying such an honor and a tribute to the iconic music that he was part of in writing and playing on record and playing live, and and it's one of those things where every night we go out, we're playing the music that he helped write and made famous, and that's what it's all about, really, is the music. It's not about each individual in the band. And like it used to be, even when he was alive, it was never about any one certain person. It was always about the brand name and what the brand name represented it. Right now, you've got probably four generations of fans from 8 to 80. And the other night, it was really prevalent the other night because we played up the country in Minnesota and North Dakota. And I looked out, and I'll give you an example. In Minnesota, we probably had, probably between 25 and 30,000 people there. And I'm looking at the audience. And the audience seemed like it was about 20 young people to every one older adult. And that's really an amazing thing when you think about it. We've crossed so many lines. Mm-hmm. And it's like we have a song called Skinner Nation that we talk about three generations bold. Hell, we're already into four generations now. And Not a lot of bands can really say that.
No, they can't.
And also when you think about this, we are one of very few bands such as ourselves that's left in the world anymore. You've got the Stones and you got Aerosmith, which is they're getting ready to call it a day.
Yeah.
You've got ZZ Top who's out with us on this, 50th anniversary tour. But you've got, AC/DC whenever they go out and play. Mm-hmm. But there's very few of us. We just played with another one of those classic bands the other night, which is REO Speedwagon. And so, when I look at it, I tell people all the time, you should come out and see the band because at some point, it's not going to be there at some point. And then people might say, darn, I wish I'd have bought a ticket and went to see that band.
Right.
So yeah. I look at it as it's all about the music. That's what keeps the fans, coming out and seeing the band. Because the band, when this band comes out there and starts to play, you've got everybody's attention.
Mm-hmm.
It's badass. It's high energy. The band is so tight and so together. And because we're all, real musicians that are proud of what we're doing. And happy with what we're doing. And, back in the day when I first came back to Lynyrd Skynyrd, I promised Gary that I would be there for him and for the band until the very last note in Freebird was struck. And, here I am almost 28 years later back with the band and, I'm there with Johnny. And I guess you could say we're the last two remaining guys, warriors, to be in the band. And we're going to be there, like I said, till last note Freebird is struck.
All right. Yeah. You kind of answered my next question. I was going to ask why you think it's so important to keep this legacy alive, but I think you touched on that very, very well. Well,
there's one other thing too, you know.
Uh-huh.
Gary had mentioned before a couple of times that he never wanted to see the music just fade out and be heard every once in a while on radio or played, you know, on TV or in a movie or whatever. That he wanted the music to be brought to the masses and to be kept alive, you know, and never fade out. And to be honest with you, that's what we're doing. And we're happy to do it, you know.
All right. Just on happier things, I'm wondering, since you have so many hits and so many people have yelled, you know, anytime I go to a live show, somebody asks for requests, everybody yells Freebird without fail. It is and I swear, I've been going to concerts for 30 years. And so I always said, now that I'm talking to you, I know that Freebird, without a doubt, is one of the songs that you must play. But I'm wondering, from your point of view, what other songs must you play at a Lynyrd Skynyrd show?
Well, without a doubt, Tuesday's Gone is a must. Simple Man is a must play.
Uh-huh.
Also, Tuesday's Gone. I think That Smell. You know, along with, actually, Sweet Home Alabama, you can't get away without playing Alabama. And, I mean, there's quite a few of them that you would never be able to escape the venue without playing, or you might have a major riot on your hands, you know. But, you know, bands that are out there playing, I remember somebody told me that they were at, I think, a Foo Fighters show, and Dave Grohl was up there and somebody yelled out, play Freebird. He said something to the effect, I would never even attempt to play that effing song, you know. And I don't know if that was a compliment or a slander or a slap. I've yet to figure it out. And, but I mean, Dave Grohl seems like a great guy. So I'm going to take that as a, you know, I'm going to take that as a compliment. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, and look, they yell it at our show. I mean, they yell it at ours, and I'm always like, don't worry, we're getting there, you know? But, it's become one of those things. I would believe, honestly, used to in rock radio, you know, every year they would have, around New Year's Eve, rock radio would have this countdown to the number one requested song.
Mm-hmm.
And every year, it used to end up being either a tie between Freebird and Stairway to Heaven, or Stairway to Heaven had won and Freebird hadn't, or Freebird had won and Stairway to Heaven hadn't. I mean, it was like almost every year. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, to be a part of history like that, and now, this is so weird that this actually happened, but we had to play a show, in Plant City, Florida, the day before we were to lay Gary to rest. And it was a very, very difficult night for us.
Yeah.
And we were backstage, and the management, our management come walking back with a plaque that we had received. And, of course, hoping that Gary would be there and the whole bit. But the plaque, really tall, wide, and in the center of it was the size of a large dinner plate, maybe a platter. And it was completely platinum. And in the center of it was Spotify's logo indented in this platinum disc. And it was to certify, and I had to take a second look at the number, and even had to tell Johnny, look at the number, because both of us thought it said a million. But when you looked at it, there was an extra three zeros. It was to certify 1 billion streams of Sweet Home Alabama.
Wow.
And I got to thinking about that. 1 billion streams. That's a lot of music.
Yeah.
And that kind of iconic song, I mean, it'll be here way, a lot longer after I'm gone, that's for sure. So we're just very proud and happy and very fortunate, very blessed and fortunate that I do feel this way, that I've been a part of rock history like that. And, you know, I hope that I've done it, you know, honorably, and I've given it the respect that it should have. Maybe one day when I get up into the promised land, you know, and I run into, Alan and Gary and especially Ronnie, I hope they shake my hand instead of giving me a slap in the face, you know? But, we'll see.
Okay. All right. Before I get off the phone with you, I wanted to ask you two more things. Since I hadn't heard, and I know my readers or the readers are going to be, curious, has there been a cause of death for Gary that has been released, or is that still something that the family would like to stay quiet about?
Well, I think the family would like to, I don't think they're ever going to, you know, release anything, and out of respect for them, I mean, it was common knowledge known that Gary had undergone a lot of heart issues, and that he had heart disease, and I'm sure that, you know, we just look at it as he succumbed to that, and there's been no official report released, and we'd like to pretty well much keep it that way, you know?
Absolutely. I completely respect that. And then can I ask one more little question? I read that your grandfather was a bluegrass musician and taught you how to play banjo. And I was just wondering, do you ever bring your banjo out on stage or play bluegrass?
My God, I haven't played a banjo ever since I was about 8 years old.
Really? Oh, man.
he did teach me how to play when I was around 3 years old, and I was on TV with him for about 5 years of a local show out of Jacksonville called the Toby Dowdy Show.
Oh, yeah.
I've got pictures from that time period where I was on television with him. But in the midst of it, I learned how to play guitar when I was around 5 years old and drums when I was around 8. And along the way, lots of different instruments like a mandolin and a dobro and stuff like that. But I have not picked up a banjo in many, many years.
Okay.
And I
had to ask.
I'm not sure anybody would want me to pick one up right now, you know.
Oh, well, when you come to town, you know, if you change your mind, we're big on bluegrass around here, so.
Well, you know, my daddy Shorty was a jack of all trades. I mean, he could, and I've often said this, he was my grandfather, you know, who adopted me when I was young, and he was a road musician with a lot of different country people, and he played not only, oh my God, he played half a dozen or more stringed instruments. And not only did he play them, he played them greatly. And I tried to emulate him doing that. And when I was growing up, and I remember him telling me, look, don't try to do what I do. You do you. And stick to one instrument or maybe a couple. And so that's what I did. And it worked out for me. You know, I played drums in the early years. I was one of the original drummers of the band of Skinner. And it worked out really well for me to only play maybe a couple. But my passion and my love has always been for the guitar and singing and, you know, stuff like that. So it worked out great.
Yeah, yeah, I'd say so, man.
It worked out just right.
Well, that's all I had to ask you today. I'm so honored that I got a chance to talk to you. And
that's great.
Good luck to you out on the road.
Yeah, listen, come see us and get yourself a Lynyrd Skynyrd experience. You know.
All right, I will.
My best to you. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Of course, we have a lot more stories coming this weekend, and I want to give you a sneak peek at some of them. So dementia is a growing issue in the United States. The Alzheimer's Association released a report this week showing 1 out of 9 Arkansans 65 and older have Alzheimer's or some other form of dementia. Doug Thompson has a story on how dementia affects our communities. The Benton County Sheriff's Office is taking a look at purchasing an ROV, its own remotely operated vehicle, that could assist with underwater searches, especially at Beaver Lake. Tracy Neal has that story. And Washington County is previewing a policy to handle challenges to library materials, Tom Sissom reports. From the River Valley, the Sebastian County Quorum Court passed an emergency ordinance adopting rules regarding the noise produced by data centers. Thomas Sakenti reports on that. We also have your favorite sports covered, from high school to the pros. And check out Henry Apple's story on how changes could be coming to Arkansas high school football classifications. Also, don't forget Ben Collins has his Let's Eat column every Friday, where he brings us the latest on restaurant news from Northwest Arkansas and the River Valley. And he's a hoot as a writer, so don't miss it. And in features, don't miss, Monica Hooper also has a preview of the Peacemaker Music Festival that's coming up next weekend at the Riverfront Amphitheater in Fort Smith. And there is a ton, a basket, a plethora, a glorious selection of theater in Northwest Arkansas and the River Valley, including Cinderella, all at Fort Smith Little Theater. And that's all in Sunday's What's Up. Our profile this week is Coleman Ray Clark, a Fayetteville High School graduate who's making his mark on theater in New York City and Northwest Arkansas. And April Wallace brings you a Hidden Gems book column about Girl Juice, a graphic novel by local author Benji Nate. All of this and more will be available to our subscribers on our tablet and our smartphone apps and at our websites, nwaonline.com and rivervalleydemocratgazette.com. To those of you who already subscribed, thank you. Thank you for supporting local journalism. If you're not a subscriber, I hope you'll consider becoming one. We even have a special offer for our listeners. Just visit nwaonline.com/podcast23 to get started. You can also click on the subscribe button on our websites, nwaonline.com and rivervalleydemocratgazette.com, or you can call us at 479-684-5509. Be sure to tell them you're a podcast listener. Know the News is a weekly podcast brought to you by the newsrooms of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and the River Valley Democrat Gazette. Thanks for listening. I'm Becca Martin Brown, the arts and entertainment editor for both newspapers, your podcast host this week, and the crazy person trying to say this all correctly the first time. Have a great weekend, and until next Friday, so long.